Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Changes his mind, thinks of leaving you behind, or if you just want something more, then he steps out the front door. I'll be coming around, knocking your back door down. I'll be coming around, knocking your back door down.
Hey everybody, there's a little song from the Bottle Rockets for you. Never occurred to me knocking your back door down. Is that a butt sex thing? Is that something I should think about? I don't care. You know what? I'll just assume it's not a butt sex thing, because that does nothing for me. Welcome to our next show. You know what? This is the worst part, is the beginnings for me. I feel like I'm surrounded by cords. I don't know how to get everything going. I just don't know how to start the show right. Let's do it. I know how. I've got an idea.
I'll be coming around.
Someone asked me to stop playing sappy hillbilly music. So here you go. Here's your wish. Someone else, we got a lot of feedback last week, asked about the weather. How come there's no weather in our morning show? So the weather right now, I would say, is god-awful. It's hot. It's warm. Guys, check your V's at the door, because they're going to just be sweated the fuck through. So speaking of that kind of shit, horrible, awful times, went to one of my favorite stores this week, Bed Bath & Beyond. Now, I know you've all been to this Bed Bath & Beyond. Lots of people joking about this Bed Bath & Beyond here and there, and I think I know why. I think it's because it's a lot more hilarious than it is a useful store. The items. They have lots of choices. It's kind of, I think, meant for someone who's about like me, who's a little beyond buying cups at Walmart, you know. Well, I'm way beyond that. I would cup my hands under a sink. Make a cup, or you can fold the cup with origami. I would do that over Walmart, because at least that would be like, well, he's an interesting guy, instead of, how come all his glasses look like they've been in a rock tumbler with a bunch of gravel? So I'd rather be weird origami guy than rock tumbler guy. So I don't do that at Walmart. Target, the problem with Target, as much as I love Target in all its ways, is that if you get something at Target, it's, they have a lot of shit, and then they'll have one or two good things. And when you get the one or two good things, everybody else has those same one or two good things. So there's no hiding what you had, you know what I mean? Everyone's going to have the same shit as you. So they'll be like, oh, you got that at Target, which kind of kills the fun of getting it at Target, because the fun of getting stuff at Target for me is when it doesn't look like it's from Target. You want to do the thing. You want it to be like a commercial where someone says, oh, where'd you get this? Must have been a boutique. And then you lean in and whisper, I got it at Target. And they have a surprised look on their face and set it down. And then pick it up again to look more, because they're that interested in it. So, I just wrote with a marker and it stinks like hell. The pink one is the smelliest one. I'm throwing this in the garbage right now, because I can't take that. So anyway, I'm at this Bed Bath & Beyond looking for a wooden tray. Just a simple serving tray. This is something that we always had at my house when I was a kid. This was like when you were sick at home from school. Your mom would, if she made lunch, would give that to you, which that lasted for me till about third grade. But then once I completely abused being sick to the point where she didn't feel bad anymore, I think the tray was kind of retired, except for the one, you know, Mother's Day, when you try to make your mom breakfast and she's almost upset because it's like, oh, now not only do I have a shitty breakfast, but I have to eat it because these kids are sitting here watching me like, oh, how come you're not eating your French toast? Just because it's made with, you know, egg beaters and it's completely soggy and we didn't cook it all the way through and there's no syrup or powdered sugar or anything. You know, really, we put it in the toaster and then just put a raw egg on top. How come you're not eating it, Mom? It looks delicious. The worst thing. I would have to just, if my kids did that, you know what I would do on Father's Day is pretend I was sick and I had to go to the doctor every Father's Day and be like, oh, yeah, isn't that a bummer, kids? And then go do what I actually wanted to do, which would be not hang out with kids. Father's Day, that should be the one day where you can, instead of taking the joy of being a father, basically not be a father for the day. So I'm walking around, you know, and all this great, great stuff they have at the Bed Bath & Beyond, you know. You know it's a good store because when you first walk in, they have a whole wall of As Seen on TV. This is the first thing that greets your eye when you enter the store. You know, they're like, this is our premier shit. We got to put this up front, make sure that people are, you know, let it be known that As Seen on TV has a home at BB&B. You know, so I looked at that for a while, thought about a thing that you can plug into a phone that does something so you can make calls somehow, not explained. You know, and there's always just some kind of cloth or a, you know, a sponge with little spines on it or something. Everything's about cleaning. I don't know what's going on with people because most people I know aren't cleaning shit anyway. Or, you know, there's that egg that you use to shave off the bottom of your feet. That's very important. If you're at a maintenance level where, you know, that's the only thing left, then I say go for it. You know what I mean? Your hair is perfect. Your eyebrows are perfect. Your face is free of blemish. Everything is absolutely perfect. Hey, then go to the bottoms of your feet. It's fine. But I don't know what situation I'm going to be like, oh, God, get a pet egg on those feet, huh? What the fuck? It's kind of like, I checked out this book from the library, right? And it's supposed to be stuff of, you know, okay, there's 52 things in it, and you do one thing a week. You know, you start, so on the first week, you do a new thing, and then you carry it over to the second week and continue doing it. And by the end of the year, you're doing all this good shit for yourself, right? And, you know, I figured, I checked it out, and I was like, 52 things, one a week, that's going to take a year, maybe even 100 years. So what I decided, I figured I'd take it out and do one a day, you know, and just, I'm a pretty fast learner, guys. I don't mean to brag. And, you know, the first one was just drink 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day, which I hate that. That's everyone's answer to everything. You know, if I'm like, I have a headache, they're like, you should drink more water. Or when someone's like, oh, my credit card got hacked. Have you been drinking enough water? Because the water in your bloodstream would have prevented the hack from happening. The signal would have been jammed by the... Everybody's answer to everything is water. And water is shit. You know, you don't really... Just slam a cup of water in the morning and one at night. Just so you don't wake up in the night feeling like you're in the desert. So... Anyway, I get this book of 52 things, and the first one's drink water, so I don't even finish that. But what I'm saying is, it's just one of those, you know, I'm aware that there's 52 things I could do to get better, which is why I can't go to the doctor. Because any ailment I have at least 52 solutions. You know, he would be like, are you drinking water? And I'd say, no. And he'd be like, how many drinks do you have a week? And I'd say, what's the concern level? Because, you know, I'm probably just below that, is what I would say. But I don't know what your, you know, when I went last time, I was like, well, here's the thing. Averaged over the year, I'd say I have 2 drinks a week. But, or maybe even less. However, I don't spread them out that way. I have 8 drinks one week, and then no drinks for a couple weeks, and then 1,000 drinks, and you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know how important the spread outness is of them. I would think it's important because I would guess that binge drinking, if you want to call it that, is worse. But I just don't know. That's why I'm there to see him. I wish they would tell you. They would show you a chart, you know, and it would go from green to yellow to amber to red. And he'd say, oh, how many drinks do you have? And kind of move up and down the chart so you could see the numbers of the drinks and how concerned that would make him. Because maybe five a week isn't that bad. And he'd say, great. You know, and then he'd probably be like, are any of them red wine? And I'd be like, oh, God, no. And by the way, I consider one drink as much whiskey as I can swallow in a night is a drink, right? I mean, that's fair. So anyway, I'm at Bed Bath & Beyond. And there's this fucking display. So I'm looking at, you know, just shit. They have the other thing problem with Bed Bath & Beyond, like with the ads seen on TV shit. They have like legitimate products, you know, glasses or tumblers or whatever that are fine mixed in with complete bullshit. You know, they'll have like a parrot themed margarita set with a plastic thing that you can salt the rims on, or like, oh, this is a lime caddy, so you can line up a bunch of lime wedges for having with your beers. And you know, for people who can't just have shit, like half the shit at Bed Bath & Beyond should just be like, this is stuff for people who just don't like having things on their counter unless it's in something it's specifically designed for. You know, I have to have a different holder for chopsticks. I can't just put them in the silverware zone. My knives have to be all very specifically oriented. I need a watermelon wedge-shaped cutting board for cutting and serving watermelon. God forbid I use a normal cutting board, okay? Everything, you know, you could make something for everything. You know, a lot of stuff. Oh, this is shaped like a pig, so this is for making pork in. Okay, good. So I'm looking, you know, at, I don't know, fucking a glass shaped like a see-through guitar or something like that. And across the aisle, there's the candle zone. The Yankee Candle Zone, which if you could name a Yankee Candle variety, we're not friends, okay? If you could, by name, because, you know, they're not just like saffron, or I don't know if that's a scent, lilacs. It'll be like Lilac Breezeway from my old college, which reminds me of times past. You know, they have to have these fancy, fancy fucking names. So I go walking past that, and they have a tape going, and it's this woman, and she's saying, Woodwick candles. Ah, the sound of a crackling fire combined with the soothing aroma of a candle. That's the Woodwick candle difference. Woodwick candles. Ah, the soothing sounds of a crackling fire. I mean, it was probably 3 seconds long, the entire thing, and just played on a constant loop. So I'm standing over by there looking at this bizarre bullshit for, you know, making martinis that no one's going to like just because you've been watching too much Mad Men. And I just keep hearing, Woodwick candles! Woodwick candles! Woodwick candles! And it was like its own electronic dance remix of the fucking piece of shit video that was already out. Oh, it was terrible. I mean, what's the Woodwick candle difference? It's got a piece of wood shoved in it instead of a wick. I mean, I think Woodwick candle really explains most of it. And they make a nice sound. I've had a Woodwick candle. It's nicer than a regular candle, but I don't think it's, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's like having a crackling fire. Because, oh, well, and the other thing is, it's like a crackling wood-burning fire, and it's like, well, that's exactly what it is. It is a tiny wood-burning fire. That's what's happening. So I would fucking hope it sounds like that, because that's the exact product they're selling. And then, of course, you know, the manager comes up and it's like, oh, hey, can I help you find anything? Which, you know, I had my headphones in, as I always do when I go to these types of stores, because I don't want to talk to anyone and I don't want someone to, you know, acknowledge me when they're looking at spatulas. I think that's a private decision to be made on your own. I'm not getting involved in that. I don't even want to know that that's happening. If I was, you know, some kind of burglar or something, I think I would just burgle the things I needed and then leave the money. I wouldn't leave the money. I mean, what would be the point of being a burglar if you had the money? If I had that much money, I could just make someone go shop for me. And then, you know, I just order everything on Amazon. I can't wait. Once I'm rich, this show is going to go to shit because I'll never leave my apartment. Everything's going to be about, oh, you'll never believe what happened in my apartment the other day, or here's what my mailman did. Nothing's going to happen. It'll basically be like being a turtle. You know, a turtle lives in these little, this turtle cage thing. And is there anything outside of that to a turtle? I mean, a turtle must think that's the entire world, right? I don't understand when a hamster escapes its cage. I mean, how does it know? It doesn't know what's out there, does it? I would just assume it was outer space. You know, I would think that outside of my cage is just sky. Just nothing happening out there. I mean, space. It's like if I escaped the Earth. If I found a ladder and decided to escape Earth, I wouldn't know, like, oh, I can get in someone's clothes drawer and chew up all their shit. I would think, I don't know what's out there. But I guess I don't have the adventurous spirit of, like, a hamster. It's a good thing that, you know, turtles can't write each other letters and shit. Like, if a turtle got a letter from another turtle, it would just blow his turtle mind, right? He'd just be like, where are you? I didn't know that there's another one of you out there. You're not in the world, because I'm in the world, and I'm sure you're not here. What the fuck is going... It would be... Every turtle letter back and forth would kind of be like trying to explain the Matrix, you know? So the manager's asking if he can help me, and I'm like, yeah, where are your Woodwick candles? But, you know, I'm like, no, I don't need help. I mean, that store is pretty organized. The one complaint is that, you know, you walk through and you can't just cut back out to the exit. You know what I mean? It's a horseshoe thing. So in order to walk past the kitchen stuff, which I'm interested in, and get to see all that, I either have to fight the traffic going back or walk through, you know, the bed and the bath. What's funny, I'm not really interested in the bed or the bath because who cares? I mean, I don't know. I'm looking to trick people into getting into my bed using the kitchen tools and whatnot. That's how I trick them. Then, once they're in the bed, the bath is kind of a foregone conclusion, and it's too late to go back. You know, if we already had sex, and then it's like, ooh, the bathroom's not as clean as it could be, I'd be like, well, you know, we can't unsex. I'm sorry. Sorry, lady. Shouldn't have let me go into that cooking section, huh? Trick ya. Anyway, leave me alone, managers of stores. That's what I'm trying to get at here. We don't need to talk about anything. I wanted to talk a little bit and update about... So I did a little etiquette chatter not too long ago. We had a little discussion of etiquette that I thought was appropriate. Now, this is not... You know, I'm pretty experienced on being an appropriate man. I don't fuck around. But you know what? I'm not the number one expert. So what I did is I got an Emily Post etiquette book, okay? And this is new. This is revised 2004. And what I wanted to do is read you a little something. Now, if you remember, my stance on escalators is as follows. You don't see escalators at the carnival because it's not a fucking ride. So you should be walking on the escalator. And maybe that's a little harsh, you know? Maybe I'm not totally right. Well, let's see what Emily Post has to say about it. Riding escalators. Keep to the right on an escalator so that other people can walk past you. Okay? If you're the rider who needs to get past, politely say, get the fuck out of my way, but only when riders are few and far between. On crowded escalators, the only choice is to be patient and stay where you are. So, Emily Post says, get over to the side. Now, when someone says an escalator is crowded, I would argue if people would walk, this wouldn't be a problem. Because the area, the hallway leading up to the escalator wasn't crowded. So if they just get on the fucking escalator and get moving, you know, we can get people the hell out of here sooner. So far, Emily Post and I are on very much the same page. Okay, my advice is pretty equal. I decided to highlight some of her other important pieces of advice that maybe we should go over here. Let's see. Okay. So this is all about kissing, hugging, or touching when you meet somebody. Everyday etiquette, okay? So there are questions, you know. Should you kiss, hug, or touch? I'd say no. When you meet somebody, you don't need to fucking kiss them. That's for damn sure. And if you're in America and you're kissing someone that you just met, or someone, if I went to a dinner party and someone was kissing my wife, I'd be like, we gotta go. You know, even wives shouldn't kiss each other. That only happens on Californication. I mean, that's weird, right? Just kissing. And a guy kissing a woman who he's not kissing other than when they're greeting, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather he just rubbed her lower back for a couple seconds. That's just as weird to me. Should you hug? No. Actually, that's the only thing worse than kissing, because that's weird. That's like, I don't know. I don't know. Unless I'm getting reunited with my dad, which isn't going to happen anytime soon, I don't think hugging needs to happen. Especially when you're meeting somebody. That's fucked up. Or touch. Well, if you're not kissing or hugging, I'm not sure what touching would be. Lightly touching your arm while my arms are straight at my sides and I kind of shy away from your touch. Like it's fire on my bare skin. Yeah, don't touch either. Just fucking say hello. Leave people alone. Awkwardly wave. What you do is you hold up your arm so that the elbow is completely bent and your hand is facing forward, but it's still touching your chest, you know, and you can barely move it side to side. And just wave like that. That's plenty. Then I know, all right, this person has acknowledged my presence. We don't need to, you know, compare penises or something like that. How do you avoid bumping heads when greeting with a kiss? Oh, there's a simple guideline for dodging a collision when greeting with a kiss. Go for the person's right cheek. But this right side procedure is not widely known, which accounts for the frequency of bumped heads. Usually, if you make it a point to go directly to the other person's right cheek, you will instinctively follow suit and you'll avoid the awkward bobbing of heads. Okay, well, if that's the awkwardness of the first greeting, that probably tells you you should avoid it right away. Plus, having a rule, that's going to ruin so many romantic comedies. Isn't it so cute when they bump heads because they meant to kiss, but they're so clumsy? All these romantic comedy people are so clumsy. You know, and it'll be like, he's a firefighter and she's a magazine writer. But then she falls down a fucking spiral staircase 80 stories, you know, at some point, and she's fine. And, you know, he trips and buries his axe into his forehead and is like, oh my God. And then they go to kiss and the axe handle hits. I'm just disgusting myself. Even thinking about this. Oh, here we go. How does the two-cheek or European kiss work? If I kiss somebody, if I kiss you hello, just be aware. I mean, I'm going to put some kind of a mace on my lips. Just, you know, it's going to burn. And you'll think like, oh my gosh, I'm burning with desire. No, that's chemicals. That's acids. Burning right through your skin. How does the two-cheek or European kiss work? Kissing both cheeks is a traditional greeting in much of Europe, in cultures influenced by European traditions and in the Middle East. I can attest to that because this man kissed me when I was in Morocco, and he had a very wiry beard. Okay, kissing someone with a beard sucks. I'm just going to say it for, you know, the ladies out there. If someone has a full wiry beard, it sucks. It sucks. It's not soft. It's not nice hair. Sometimes I think pubes are soft, so we get confused and think, you know, oh, this beard's kind of puby, I'm going to be fine. No. Also, that has never been a problem for me because I have extremely coarse pubes. It's like if steel wool was made and smelled weirder. Let's see. Kissing is usually accompanied by an embrace, which may be close to or involve only arm touching. When they are facing and hugging, each person turns his or her head a bit and offers one cheek, then the other. Usually warm words are exchanged during the greeting. Oh, so you don't have to do that in total silence? That's not a boundary, huh? What a surprise. We will kiss in silence, okay? And that's the end. We're European. We have to do this, so we will, but we will not enjoy it. Yeah, how does that work? I don't think it does. I don't think you get to do that. I can't just kiss people when I meet them. You know what I mean? I can't just go on a kiss fest 09, and if that's how it worked, I'd just take a plane to Europe. I'd feel less lonely in a minute. I'd just kiss everyone and be like, oh, I thought that's what we were doing. What is an air kiss and how is it done? When air kissing, two people merely touch or brush cheeks but kiss into the air, avoiding lipstick smudges and possibly swapping germs. There are no rules for air kissing. Wild fucking West. Which isn't the same as a real kiss. But the usual procedure is to put your cheek near the other person's cheek, kiss the air, then pull back. This process may be repeated with the other cheek. To keep their balance, participants often touch arms or place their hands on the other person's shoulders. An air kiss is accomplished quickly. First of all, if I'm trying to avoid your germs, I'm not going to let you put your face near my face. That's, you know, I don't put my face near a dog's face for a very specific reason. You know, even if he just gets the air and doesn't get my face, I'm going to keep myself at a distance, tongue distance. Okay, that's my rule for air kissing. If you're within tongue reach, you're no longer air kissing, because that just turns into tongue kissing. What about hand kissing? Yeah, if you meet a princess. You may encounter hand kissing on occasion, though it's not customary in the United States. Traditionally, a woman extends her hand palm down and a man holds it lightly bowed and kissed quickly just above the hand without lip-to-hand contact. So you don't even kiss the hand. So this is an air kiss to the hand that's extended to you. Fuck that shit. So far we've got kiss, hugging, and touching. No. Greeting with a kiss. No. Two-cheek. This is a thick-ass book. Mine would be 10 pages because it would just be like, no, 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 no. And, you know, only to someone you love or are trying to seduce. That's, I mean, hand kissing, right? If you're a vampire trying to seduce a woman, then you can kiss her hand. Etiquette. Look it up. This is important. How do you signal that you don't want to be hugged or kissed? You can extend your hand with a fairly stiff arm, shake, and then take a step back. I'm sure people would react nice to that. Most people will respect the space you create with your body language. This technique may also work with someone who, while not a toucher, tends to stand too close. Sometimes you can't avoid the contact, and it's best to grin and bear it. Backing away a bit once the person has released you should signal your feelings. If the effusive greeting of someone you see frequently really makes you uncomfortable, you may have to explain your feelings. Be tactful. Let the person know that you enjoy his or her company, but the physical displays are difficult for you or contrary to your culture or region. Yeah, this is me. It's difficult for my culture. Let me tell you the great thing about buying a tray at Bed Bath & Beyond that you take to a party is there's no chance that anyone's going to hug you because you're holding this tray full of shit when you come in and then you walk away with it and you're holding it, you know, with both hands and you're like, oh, I would, but you know, and then you hold it up and you're like, darn it. It's actually a tray at a party works essentially as a shield of sorts against hugging, you know, that vile act of display of affection. Also, you know, people who are touchers, I don't think that's an acceptable excuse. You can't just say, hey, what can I do? I'm a toucher. Fuck you. Okay, what if I'm a licker? I just want to lick you. Big deal. That's what I do. I'm just into licking. Let's talk about, there's a little thing about attire and some, you know, it's casual attire alert, sloppy, inappropriate, tacky, and utterly clueless are kind of the subheadings here. So I just wanted to, let's do a quick check. See what you're wearing right now. I mean, if you're at home doing yard work, then fuck it. But maybe we should go through. This would be great if you're listening to this right before you head out the door. Funnier if you're listening to this in the car and you're on your way to work and all this stuff's happening. All right. Sloppy. Shirt tail out. Well, I don't wear a shirt with tail, so that's not a problem. Hem ragged. Okay, who cares? Mismatched shoes or socks. Now, mismatched shoes, I don't even know how you would do that, really. I don't, you know, I had two pairs of the same shoes and still didn't mismatch them. They were the same, but one's clearly fucking worn out. Although one time, so my brother and I got the same pair of shoes. Now, this was my fault because I thought his shoes were awesome. You know, it was back when everyone wore Vans or Airwalks. And I was like, he got the best ones. I'm getting the same ones. But they were a different size and his were beat to shit because he was a proponent of the act where people tie their shoes one time, and then you remove them and put them back on without ever tying them again. Their original, if they came in the box with a knot, they would still have the original knot in them. And so he had his for quite a while, And then a couple times accidentally wore mine, even though they were the wrong size and his were beat to shit and mine were not beat to shit. And then one time he wore them to a concert, you know, and he came back the next night. And not only was I offended because he wore them to a Deftones concert and fucked the Deftones, but also, I mean, you know, you get stepped on and all that stuff. And they had like, they were kind of felty, so they had almost a shiny sheen to them, you know, like they'd been buffed out by a shoe shiner guy. And now they were just fucking looked absolutely shitty. So I had a choice now between his busted ass shoes or my shoes that he busted ass. So those were mismatched. Stains on clothing. Well, I have stains on all my clothing because, you know, I live a life. What can I say? Wrinkled clothing. Don't even know how to iron. Don't even know what that means. Tried to iron a pair of pants because I have this pair of jeans where the goddamn cuff at the bottom always flips up. I don't know how this happens. Like, once in a while you wear a pair of pants or the cuff flips out, or maybe it's got a pocket flap that just wants to go straight up, defying gravity with completely unknown forces. I don't know how that happens. Or you'll wear a shirt and it'll have the hem at the bottom, you know, the seam or whatever you call the little flap, and it just flips up always. Or a sleeve will do that. And it looks like I'm trying to roll one cigarette up into my sleeve. I don't know what science is at work doing that. Okay, now let's move to inappropriate. Number one, see-through blouses. Well, inappropriate, but, you know, do what you gotta do. Low-cut cleavage or mesh tank tops at the office. I feel that kind of those are two different things. Low-cut cleavage, you could probably get away with, right? I mean, just a little. Somewhere in the medium, but a mesh tank top is kind of all or nothing proposition, I think. I think you're either wearing a mesh tank top or not. I mean, it's not like, well, this is mesh, but the holes are very small, you know, versus wearing just a fishing net as a shirt where everything, your entire breast could pop through, I guess. I guess that's different. I don't know. Those seem like two different things, though. Barefoot and topless men, other than at the beach. I agree with that, other than even at the beach. Let's keep it to a minimum. Guy, I mean, it's the beginning of April, okay? It's been warm, but I wouldn't say it's been hot. Every fucking guy I see is out jogging topless, okay? Every single guy. You don't need to be topless. You don't. You look like a fool. And no one likes that. No one's like, oh, look at this topless guy. They're like, fuck that guy. Where's his shirt? If you're going to go topless, you need to at least bring a shirt and tuck it into your shorts so it looks like you really wanted to have a shirt, but then just got too hot. And I don't know. I mean, barefoot, that's a message for that one guy in college. Every college campus has one guy who's like, I'm going to make something my thing, and my thing is going to be being barefoot guy. Have you seen that barefoot guy? Do you think he'll be... He thinks people are sitting around saying... Do you think he'll go all winter barefoot? Do you think blah, blah, blah? And all they're saying is, have you seen that fucking barefoot guy? Fuck that guy. That's all they're thinking. I saw the bottom of his feet jet black. You know, this is like a top hat guy who wears a crazy hat or a white dreadlocks guy. He thinks everyone's thinking about his dreadlocks. No one's thinking about your dreadlocks except someone who's like, I'm pretty sure I saw a bug jump off it like on a cartoon. And jump away. That's all they're thinking about. So don't do that. Don't be barefoot. I have to agree with this one. All right, here's another inappropriate. Children dressed provocatively beyond their age. I don't really know what that means, I guess. I don't know how... Are there purveyors of clothing for children that make provocative outfits? Oh, Jesus. So is that this thing... And, you know, just a city event thing, right? And one thing they had, there was a stage where they had, like, these little girl dance troupes dancing, you know. So, of course, this is my regular chance to hear the song Barbie Girl and all that kind of stuff. And the way they're dressed, I don't find it in any way provocative. It's just very weird. You know, they're not, like, clothing. They're just... dance clothing is its own awful thing, and then they're wearing makeup that looks like they just fell face first from the top story of the mall through the makeup counter and emerged in these aqua colors. You know, oh, it's unbelievable. If you've never seen one of these things, you know, but you enjoy those shows, those pageant things, I mean, that shit's real. Let's see. Teen or adolescent girls in clingy tops or with cleavage exposed. This person's real anti-cleavage. Well, obviously I'm against that because I'm a lawful man. But if 18 and 19 is included, then I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty inappropriate. If you're below that age, then yes, inappropriate. Stiletto shoes at work. Inappropriate. Okay. If you say so, I don't know. I don't really care about the footwear so much. Okay, here's tacky. White socks with dress clothing. Sure. Slacks, jeans, or shorts with the waistline so low that the massive bare skin is exposed. Ah, let's talk about this. This is, I think, for a long time, has been the area of ladies. Okay, they're wearing these low-rise jeans. And then, you'd see them sitting down. You're like, I can see your whole ass. And the low-rise jeans came before the low-rise thongs and underwears. So you'd just see their underwear selection as well. Which, you know, sometimes I felt their underwear selection was tacky. When paired with that jean selection. But now, I think what's happened is this has moved to men being the number one offenders. And I think the problem is, I don't know why men and, you know, teen boys are wearing, like, children's jeans. And they seem to wear them in such a way where I imagine, like, if you're a man wearing these kind of jeans, basically your entire ass is covered by your shirt instead of your jeans, and your dick must be 90% out. I mean, the head must be just tucked into the top of the jeans, but the rest is out. And then they kind of just waddle around, you know, mosey, I'd say, like a Western guy ready to draw, except his whole dick and butt are out. I don't know. I mean, why even wear the jeans is my question. I just wear a long shirt. Just wear like a night shirt and one of those caps with the ball on the end and carry around a fucking candle on a little hoop thing. And you'll just look like you're in the Night Before Christmas all the time. Turn your hair gray. I mean, that's basically how they're dressing. You shouldn't be using your shirt to cover your genitals. Here's Peter's tacky rule. If your shirt is the only thing covering your genitals, you're doing it wrong. You have a problem. Women in curlers in public, I don't give a fuck about that. Jogging suits in fine dining restaurants. Yeah, I mean, I think have we come to the place now where jogging suits are for white rappers and, you know, the shittiest of mobsters, the ones who you're not even really sure they're in the mob, or if they're just dressed like it, look like a mobster, or no, wait, you could be a mobster, or just look like one. Barbizon for mobsters. Torn jeans in the workplace. Yeah, I think that that's also outdated, because once you started being able to buy jeans torn, I mean, isn't that appropriate then? I don't know. I don't know why the torn jean thing is such a problem. Because, I don't know, if you did an activity, I mean, are we assuming that jeans are only torn by giving blowjobs or something like that? Is that the problem? Or skateboarding? All right, this is utterly clueless. Wearing sneakers or boat-style shoes with suits. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I see a lot, okay, on the Facebooks these days, you see a lot of people who are like, what I did is I wore a suit for my wedding, but we all wore Converse All-Stars. You know what I mean? You're not in a John Hughes movie, okay? And you shouldn't be, you shouldn't even think about, you should be like, what shoes come, do I just get? What are the shoes? You shouldn't be able to see the shoes in the pictures. You know, that's what girls do. They stand and take a picture of all their shoes in a circle, which I didn't even understand what it was the first dozen times I saw it. I'd be looking at this picture of a bunch of girls going out that night being like, oh, good, maybe there'll be a wardrobe malfunction in here somewhere. And then there'd be always the same picture of all these shoes in a circle. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Are they just showing us their feet just so they can all remember who was there? It's like their roster. Oh, here's all the feet that were there. Oh, that's Jenny's feet. Ah, she was there. Have to send her a thank you note. No, okay. Men and boys wearing hats in restaurants or at dinner tables. I don't know. I guess it depends on the hat. Men, women, teens, and children. You could just say anyone. Wearing baseball caps in restaurants or at dinner tables. Okay, so that's not the same as a hat. It just depends on if you're bald or if your hair looks like shit. That's what I would say. If you didn't wash your hair, feel free to leave your hat on because I don't need your greasy ass sitting across the table from me. I'll save the grease for my, fried chicken finger dinner instead of your head. Tank tops in a business situation. No fucking shit. Wearing ill-fitting clothing, such as a suit that's too tight. Yeah, okay. A man wearing dressy lace-up shoes with jeans. Yeah, guys don't understand footwear at all. I mean, really, it's just have a pair of sneakers and a nice pair of shoes, and then go from there. Get rid of your sandals, by the way. If your shoes have a Velcro on them, get rid of them. And no toe shoes either. That's the worst. That's like having sandals, but expensive. Let's move on. The Dirty Dozen, today's rudest behaviors. So I guess that if every American were asked to vote on today's rudest public behaviors, the following would doubtless rank near the top. So I'm going to give you a second. Just think about it in your head what you think is going to rank up there. All right, let's see where we start. Telling racist or ethnic jokes, which not only insults the listener's intelligence, but smears entire communities. Okay, disagree. Fuck off. I mean, yeah. You know what I will say? Telling jokes in general is pretty rude. I don't like when someone says, like, hey, what do you call? I'm always like, shut the fuck up. Don't even finish. That's not going to make me laugh, I promise you. Okay? I was just thinking yesterday about, you know, I saw this warning thing for suicide that was like, do you have suicidal thoughts? And I thought, well, yeah, I think about it all the time. Is that a warning? Should I be concerned? I don't think so. I just think about the practicality side of it. I don't really get into the what I want to until I've already decided a lot of shit, you know? What would I do? I would want to pack up all my stuff. I'd probably take a vacation and blow all the money that I have from my work. You know, pull out my retirement, all that kind of stuff, get a bunch of credit cards. Then I don't know if I'd want to kill myself. That's the first time, you know, I've already planned out the entire event. And that's when I decide, oh, well, actually, I don't think that I want to kill myself. That's not the end. I just don't want to do, you know, required stuff. I don't want to have responsibilities. That's all. But I don't want to have responsibilities because I want to do this other shit. Anyway, so I can't come off thinking that and be like, hey, what would happen if a lizard had wings? You know, and I have to say, I don't know. What would happen? And then you say something that makes me want to murder you. And then kill myself, I guess. Let's see. Using four-letter words and other obscenities in public without any reservations, especially in the presence of children. I don't know. I think that depends where you are. Like, all right, if I go to Chuck E. Cheese and I'm playing that basketball game, because for some reason, no fucking bar can buy that basketball game. Not one bar, but it's a Chuck E. Cheese, even though kids don't even know shit about hoops. You know, I'm not going to cuss there. I understand. That's a children's place. However, when I go to, like, a bar restaurant, and there's kids in there, and you can tell there shouldn't be kids in there, I'll probably let fly. So I would say, parents, keep your kids in an appropriate kids joint. Doing the cell yell. Conducting a cell phone conversation so loudly that those around you wonder if your phone mate is hard of hearing. Yeah, that's pretty fucking annoying. Although, you know what's really annoying about that? Isn't so much them doing it. It's that if you look at them, they look back at you like, hey, butt out, buddy. This is a private conversation. To which I say, really? Doesn't seem so private. Treating a salesperson, food server, or any other service provider as someone who's beneath you. That's pretty fucked up. That's a really good, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess guys do this. But I've met a lot of ladies who do this, too. I think maybe it's an equal opportunity thing. But I always think that there's something wrong with somebody who's real mean to a waiter or waitress. And it's not one of those either where I'm like, huh, maybe if you were a waitress one time, you would know how hard it is. Because it's not hard. I don't think it's hard. But if they're doing a shitty job, you don't have to be mean to them. You just fucking don't give them a great tip. That's it. You know, or if they fuck up, I mean, it does you no good to be mean to them. But I do hate them. So, and they are beneath me. So I guess I don't like treating them that way, but just letting you all know you're very much beneath me, okay? Letting kids run wild or make constant noise in restaurants, supermarkets, theaters, or any other public or private place. Yeah, agreed. Kill your kids. Endangering others on a busy expressway by playing NASCAR Wannabe, zipping from one lane to the other while driving like a maniac and not even bothering to signal. I think the driving thing is, you know, a little bit of a thing. I don't really mind people who drive crazily. I mean, if someone goes flying past me in the left lane going 90, that's their prerogative. I really don't care. What I don't like is the clueless driving where I can't really tell what's going on. You know, someone quickly darts in front of me before an intersection, and I'm thinking, well, they probably just needed to turn left and didn't think it through. And then they don't turn left, and then they're driving slow, and then the light changes, and they don't move. I mean, just if you know what you're doing, I think you can drive however you want, as far as I'm concerned. If you go darting around me with no signal, but I don't have to adjust my speed or my course in any way, then do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. At a youth sporting event, abusing the referee, coach, or opposing team's players because your child's team has suffered what you consider a wrong. Yeah, I don't think anyone, any adult should be even interacting or discussing a referee in or an umpire. You know, if you go to a bar, I don't know why bars are like the home of sports, but they are, which is terrible because I just want to be drunk. I don't want to be in sports or involved in sports. And you hear a lot of, you know, oh, come on, ref. Oh, that ump's fucking blind. Oh, fuck off. That's the worst umpire ever. Who cares? No, it doesn't matter. It's a game. Who gives a shit? You don't get anything. You know what I mean? All you get is, and if your team loses, it just makes you happy anyway, because then you're the downtrodden whatever, and then eventually, you know, statistically, they all win eventually, and so they come back around, and then you can say, oh my God, I liked them way back then. I'm just going to start pick out the shittiest team from each sport and then start liking them. Because then I can say, you know, oh, well, you're just a fucking jumper honor of your team. Once they won their world champion series or whatever you call it, once they won that, you know, Stan from South Park Cup, then you like them. Me? I don't care how shitty they are. Somehow that's a badge of honor in sports, too, liking someone who sucks. Be like if, you know, oh, yeah, you know how I picked my wife? Went out with a group of ladies, picked the one that was the worst. You know, least attractive, coarse, angry, unhappy, generally made me unhappy, and I stuck with her. And we still haven't worked it out, but one day we might. And that's going to be a great day because I put in all this work. No. Insane. Let's see. Fouling the sidewalk with spit, trash, or pet poop left unscooped. Yeah. It would be nice if someone walking around could at least use the Del Taco bags and put dog shits in them, just so we could concentrate this all in one thing. On public transportation, staying planted in your seat when an elderly, pregnant, or disabled person obviously needs it more. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Charging thoughtlessly through crowds, especially when skating, riding a bike, or electric scooter, or pushing a baby stroller. Yeah, I don't know. I find most people to be too lollygaggy. I mean, I'm not a fast walker, but I don't just stand in the middle either. I don't know. And, oh, Jesus Christ. Went to the fucking store on Saturday, which is a mistake, you know, in and of itself. But I had to because I don't have, you know, a grown-up credit card still. Not kidding. I turn to go down this aisle, and I'm carrying a basket because that's an acceptable amount of groceries for one person, by the way. If you can't physically carry them, then you probably don't need that many, groceries. And there's a lady with a cart blocking the entire fucking aisle. She's got the cart at an angle, you know, so she's looking at the shit behind her, and the tip of her cart is touching the other end of the aisle, just basically so no one can get through. I don't know how you would even end up in that arrangement. You know what I mean? That's insane. That's just fucked up. And what is her cart full of? She had like 15, 12 packs of pop. All different varieties of pop. Okay. They better be having like the Little League World Championship at her house. Let's see. Butting in, whether jumping into a checkout line in a store or taking a parking space that someone else is clearly waiting for. Yeah, that's fucked up. Lighting up to smoke tobacco in a room full of non-smokers and adding insult to injury by not asking permission beforehand. Yeah, I don't really care about that. I don't know. That doesn't really happen anymore, right? I think smokers have been so beat down that they just assume like, oh, where's the spot exactly in between your house and the dog house? Because I don't want to smoke out your dog either. So I guess those are the top annoyances. The racist one I thought was important, because here's what I'd like to discuss. So I'm I've been around the world, round, get around. And there was a piece in here about adjusting your cultural sensitivity to local customs. So I thought maybe it would be a good idea is to figure out where would be a good place for me to go next based on the cultural stuff. Because maybe that way it would keep me from getting so pissed off all the time. You know, maybe they'll say, oh yeah, in Eastern Europe, they execute people who don't walk on the escalator. And I can say, well, that's the place for me. And they drink too much and just light up cigarettes wherever. I'd say, perfect. Eastern Europe, it is something Ovania. So here we go. Here's Latin America. Latin Americans are warm, effusive, and very polite. So be prepared to be greeted with a friendly handshake. Ooh, okay. Male friends embrace in what is known as an abrazo, or a warm hug. Close female friends will greet each other with a light kiss on both cheeks. Okay. That's not going so great. If I have to meet I don't want to be hugging a bunch of strange Latin men. Okay, that looks unsavory somehow. When conversing, Latinos like to stand close, and backing away will only draw them nearer. While you may not feel comfortable in such close proximity, you should maintain solid eye contact at all the times. So when you talk to someone, they stand right, you know, with the tips of their shoes on your shoes, staring you down. And they're just saying, you know, oh, this is where you get a taxi over here. Yeah. Many countries in Latin America, particularly in Central America, have suffered years of political unrest, so it's wise not to discuss politics. All right, well, that's going to work. And because I wouldn't even know. Our friend Nicanor was telling me about some shit war that the Argentinians got in with the British that I'd never even heard of. And they're very upset about it. You know, that's their thing. And I'm like, okay. Hey, listen, man. Do what you got to do. Because Latin America is overwhelmingly Catholic, don't treat religion lightly. Oh. If you're looking, casting about for a congenial topic, look no further than sports. Most Latinos are avid sports fans and are passionate about soccer and baseball. Well, son of a bitch. So let's see, I could go to Latin America, land of close huggers, weird talkers, and sports fans who get beat up by other countries. I don't know. That's not so far. It's at the bottom of the list, and it's the only one. Western Europe. Let's see. Public behavior and dress alike tend to be more formal than in the United States, especially in Austria and Switzerland. Whatever seems mildly sloppy to an American, chewing gum or slouching in a chair, is a serious breach of etiquette in Western Europe. Two examples. A Frenchman would never dream of conducting a conversation with his hands in his pockets. Okay. So someone gave away to the French that when guys have their hands in their pockets, they're just lightly masturbating. Damn it. An Italian would be appalled by a hearty slap on the back unless he's your closest friend. Yet he might grasp you gently by the arm. So we can walk arm in arm while he's holding me by the arm, but I can't slap him on the back. This is a weird, okay, weird country. Let's see. Northerners conduct conversations from a distance of about 4 feet. That sounds pretty good. And anything closer is seen as an invasion of privacy. Okay. For Southern Europeans, the distance shrinks to about 2 feet. That seems pretty long. That seems better. I mean, I could fall over and still hit you, but that's about it. The standard greeting is the handshake for both men and women, though you should wait for the woman to extend her hand first. Okay. And Western Europeans, women in particular, are likely to greet friends of either sex with a kiss on both cheeks. Okay. So I just make some women friends. Chocolates or flowers are appreciated as a gift in most Western European countries, but red roses usually signal amorous intent. Okay. I'm not taking Western Europe on a fucking date. Ah, Eastern Europe. So I don't know. Western Europe so far is topping Latin America, I'm afraid, because they talk further away. And you know what they, I guess I would rather be considered rude than be in a country where I'm like, oh God, everyone's so rude right now. But I can't do anything because I came here by choice. I'd much rather impose my American rudeness on others. Eastern Europe. Like their Western European cousins, Easterners tend to be more formal and should always be addressed by, okay, blah, blah, blah. Handshakes are typical. For Hungarians, Poles, and Czechs, the handshakes are the typical form of the handshake is the extent of physical contact. Now we're talking. In Russia, on the other hand, good friends greet each other with hearty bear hugs or kisses on both cheeks. Okay, no Russia. Eastern Europeans typically stand 3 to 4 feet apart. Okay, good. They love to entertain. Hungarians, for example, will fete foreigners with lavish meals that go on for hours. Poles enjoy staying up late socializing. When being entertained in Eastern Europe, guests often notice an abundance of alcohol, especially vodka. Not into vodka, but lots of booze is all right. Being invited to a social occasion in a private home is considered an honor. Oh, God, I don't think that would be. And you should take a gift of flowers or chocolates or the like. Avoid yellow flowers, however, which many Eastern Europeans associate with mourning. Okay, so Eastern Europe seems to be about my speed. They don't like to touch, but they like to drink. And they do, you know, parties in shitty houses, which probably closely resemble my home. I'd feel very at home, I bet. Let's see. The Middle East. Oh, boy. Israel. Warm handshake is the standard, though locals may hug or kiss. Informality is the standard. Many men wear slacks and open-necked shirts to work. Women favor conservative suits or dresses. Ugh, boring. Flowers or candy is appreciated. What the fuck? You know what? I'm not real into Israel at all. Arab nations. Arab peoples are warmly outgoing, proud, inquisitive, and very polite. Arab men greet each other with elaborate compliments, often embracing and exchanging cheek-to-cheek kisses. In conversation, they gesture and touch, but never point, which is considered impolite. Religion is a dominant fact of life. Yeah, no shit. And names mystify Westerners. Okay, well, I'm not going there. Did that. I was kissed by a man, but I also ate with my hands, and they don't have toilets. I mean, this is a completely, you know, they took all the elements and just threw them in the air, and whatever they caught is what they stuck with. So they're advanced on some shit, and some shit, You know, when I was there, a strange woman hung my underpants laundry for me. I did laundry in the sink, and then everyone just hangs their shit on the roof to dry. You know, so I go up to the roof to hang it, and I'm hanging stuff up, and then this lady is out there, comes out, and she's hanging her stuff. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, you can't point at somebody, and you're not supposed to use your left hand. How do they feel about strange women hanging up their underwear? I don't know. That seems like a boundary. I mean, if I was hanging my laundry in my backyard and I had a neighbor lady and she came over the fence and started just like hanging up my underwear with aplomb, I would be a little concerned. I'd be like, well, this person's either extremely motherly towards me or, you know, this is how sex in these, you know, online video clips begins. Oh, by the way, yeah, we need to get to that. You know what? I'm not going anywhere. Who am I kidding? I'm not doing this shit. Every country is insane. Before we get out of here today.
God, I'm hooked.
Okay. I wanted to talk about something that I've noticed quite a number of times and mentioned to other people. Somehow we got on the topic of pornography. Oh, because some girl's hanging up my underwear. Okay, here's the thing. Recently I discovered why people are into Tumblr. Or one of the reasons. I couldn't figure out what people were doing so much on Tumblr. What's the big deal with Tumblr? Well, I've discovered the big deal about Tumblr, and it's that Tumblr is kind of the best porn aggregator of all time. Because here's the problem. If you go to just regular porn sites, right? What it'll bring up a whole selection of video clips. And you'll be looking through and then say like, okay, this is girl on girl, that's cool. Oh, this is, you know, just straight sex, that's fine. This one's a little weird, but that's still within my wheelhouse. Then you'll see something insane, like a penis that's flayed in half. You know, and each half is inside a woman, and you're thinking, whoa, could have done without that. So what's great about Tumblr is it's kind of put together a little more personally. So what you do is you can pick pornographic Tumblr blogs that you're into and follow those, and then you get a lot less, you know, just looking at a bloody penis all of a sudden up close from a guy who's wearing a bear mask, mascot head, you know, left over from Kanye West. Another thing there's a lot more of on Tumblr is stuff that's either is or is at least masquerading as pornography, like naked pictures of actual real people instead of porn stars, who I guess I don't consider real people based on that. I don't know. But some about it where you're just like, okay, this is somebody I've never seen before. It's more interesting. I don't know why. You can see the same person over and over naked, but I guess you could just date if that's what you were going to do. I don't know. So here's the thing with a lot of this self-shot stuff, though. I'm pulling this thing up right now. You know, okay. Go down. Someone at the beach. Someone at the pool. Beach, beach, beach. Okay. Here's a woman, a young lady in her own apartment or whatever, and she's in a bikini. You know, and she's taking a picture of herself in the mirror. Now, she's using sort of the rule of thirds, where I would say her body is between third and a half of the screen, and, you know, the rest is the background of her room. In the background of her room is just what looks like, I mean, where a meth addict lives and works. You know, this is where Walter White goes when he's completely given up. If he didn't have a family and just lived in the trailer, this is what it would look like. And this is like a put-together-looking lady. You know, I mean, I guess she's posing in a bikini for a picture, but, you know, she has makeup on. Her hair is fine. I mean, she's wearing a necklace. So she seems to know something about making her appearance appropriate. She owns a digital photography situation. Everyone, too, they have iPhones. You'll see the iPhones in them. And then in the background, you see stuff like this. Okay, she's got four things hung on the wall. Each one is crooked. There's a calendar that's at probably a 45-degree angle. There's just a plain sheet of paper that's at a 45-degree angle going the other way. There's a dry erase board that is so askew, I don't know how she can even write on it properly. I mean, I'm starting to think that maybe she has a mental disability of some kind, like some kind of dyslexia, but it's about angles instead of, you know, letters and shit. And another, just a plain piece of paper curling in on itself, tacked to the fucking wall. Okay, that's why it's called tacky, because it's just tacked to the wall. The bed? The bed is a naked mattress. No sheets, no nothing. There's one blanket on it, just balled up in the center. No sheets on this bed. Are you kidding me? You know, and this picture, is designed to make somebody. I mean, I don't know if this was originally intended for a boyfriend or as a pornographic thing, but it's, you know, a pornographic thing in a way. But that bed is not inviting. Okay, on the floor next to the bed, a half-full laundry basket and a pile of fucking laundry. Now, before I go further, I want to clarify that I'm not saying, like, women, you need to be cleaning up. Because this is a guy thing, too, I assume. I assume that there's just as much naked men photography where their rooms are a mess. What I'm saying is, you're taking a picture of your naked body, and I don't really give a shit about your home life situation, and I'm still distracted. It's still too much for me. And then the finishing touch is the shittiest looking oscillating fan just sitting on the floor, like a desk fan, not a tall one, a short one, just sitting on the floor next to the bed, probably about 4 inches from the bed, blowing directly into the side of the bed. I mean, this apartment is shit. This room is shit. You're exposing so much more. I mean, people are really concerned about what's she going to think 10 years from now, you know, when she's like, I can't believe I showed everyone my body on the internet. I'd say, what are you going to think 10 years from now? You're going to think, I can't believe everyone saw my horribly shitty room on the internet. What was I thinking? That looks so fucking terrible. So here's all I'm saying. Everybody, please continue to take naked pictures of yourself. But clean your fucking room. You know, I don't want to sound like your dad. I'm not into that. But clean your room first. Or just take it close in enough that I can't... let's not do that, because that gets a little gross. Just do it in a clean... Or do it in a hotel. That works, too. Alright, that's everything for today, guys. Thanks for listening again. HelpfulSnowman.com. Everything's there. Follow me on Twitter. Friend me on Facebook. I'll see you
it's
later.
Okay in the day. I'm staying busy. Tied up enough so I don't have to wonder where is he. Got so sick of crying. So just lately, when I catch myself, I stay up, clean the house. At least I'm not drinking. Run around just so I don't have to think about thinking. That silent sense of content that everyone gets just disappears soon as the sun sets. He's fiercing my dreams, seizing my thoughts. He floods me with dread. Soaking soul, he swims in my eyes.